There's a. I'd like to just draw your attention. We're not going to read the story, but I'd like to draw your attention to an event, a story that takes place in the Gospel of John. To begin there, John chapter 10, undoubtedly a familiar story to all of us. Chapter 9. Excuse me. I think I said chapter 10. It's chapter 9. We know how this story begins. The first verse of chapter 9 starts like this. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And I believe looking at you, we all grew up in church, maybe right from the beginning of the flannel graph depictions of this story, of this man who was born blind and Jesus coming by. And the disciples have this question. They said, who sinned? There's got to be blame here, and there's got to be some sin here involved in this. And I like Jesus' reply, and I paraphrase it a little bit. Jesus said, "You don't have a clue. You got the wrong idea. You got the wrong perception of this whole thing, and you guys don't even know what you're thinking." Is the way I look at it. And I always found it interesting in verse 6, when he had said these things, when he told them, "You guys don't know what you're talking about." Because they had this question, somebody sinned here. This guy must have sinned. His parents sinned, or he sinned. I like where it says, when Jesus had said these things, he spit on the ground. Now, in my imagination, growing up in church, it was kind of like this. You guys don't know what you're talking about. But that's me. But that's not what happened. He spit on the ground, he made clay and saliva, and you know how he anoints this guy, and then he sends him away to go wash in the pool of Siloam, right? You know how the story happens, that he comes back, and the town people are like, is this the guy that was born, this it doesn't seem like, is this him? This is the guy that was born blind? And they go on, and they ask him, in verse 9, some said, this is he, others said, it's like him. He said, it's me. I'm different. It's me. You know, I can't help but throwing in some sermon thoughts, and that's that all of us should be different when Jesus touches us. So all of us should be somewhat unrecognizable when we've really been touched by Jesus. Has that happened? You know, take a quick inventory. Am I changing every time Jesus touches me? He was different. In 11, it says, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed me. And he said to go, and I did. I washed, and I came back, and I see. You get down to 13. They didn't know what else to do, so they brought him to the religious leaders, because the religious leaders know everything. And they said, look. 14, now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made clay and opened his eyes. And then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received. And then from 12 on and 13 on, we have this whole interview, interrogation between the religious leaders and this man born blind. And they're like, I don't think you're him. They said, yeah, I am him. And then it goes on, they say, well, we don't know about this guy that touched you, but you should give the glory to God. You know the story, right? And this goes back and forth. They finally said, well, let's get his parents in here. And they ask his parents, and his parents are nervous and they're worried. And they said, well, you know what? He's of age. Ask him. Well, it goes on and on until finally, when you read the event there, you come down to verse 34. Look at it. And he answered and said to him, the Pharisees are answering, said, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? Now, notice verse 34 takes us right back to verse 1, doesn't it? Sin's involved in this. This man must have been, the disciples said, somebody sinned here. The parents sinned, or he sinned. And after of this whole discourse, this whole interview, this whole interrogation, it comes right back to, you're nothing but a sinner. You know, there's no victory. There's no, you're a sinner. There's no knowledge. There's no experience that you have with God, or you're just a sinner. We know better, right? But look what it says, the bottom of 34. And what did they do? They cast him out. They cast him out. He was barred now from the synagogue. In those days, that was everything. You know, if you were out of the synagogue, you know that, then you were out of the social and society and the community. But here's the verse I want to draw your attention to. Here's the verse I want to begin to look at our lesson today with. This is the verse that, even as a young person, from the flannel graph to the sermons, always gripped me, always brought me to the heart of God. Look at verse 35. It says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Jesus heard. I have such a vivid imagination of that. Our Lord in his busyness, you know, the multitude following him, his teaching, his preaching, you know, his undoubtedly pressed by the crowd and those who were amazed by this rabbi, amazed by this teacher. You know how it says in John, the beginning of John, nobody preached with such authority. In all of his busyness, we read, Jesus heard. I like that. He heard. And what did he hear? It says, he heard that they cast him out. And so it says, and when Jesus found him, folks, that's awesome. Jesus found him. The busy Lord, the scheduled Son of God in his mission, stops to find this man who was cast out. And you know the rest of it. He found him, and he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered, and he said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you now, which is a privilege, because Jesus didn't do that with everyone. I love that so much, that Jesus heard that he was cast out, that he was being pushed aside, neglected, forgotten, ignored now. And Jesus found him. I like that because that was my experience. Jesus found me. And perhaps that's your experience too. Jesus found you. The title of our lesson today is I Feel Like an Outcast. I want to just begin by saying that this lesson this morning isn't for everyone. It isn't for everyone in this room. But I know it's for maybe one person here. It may not apply to you, but I know it applies to one person. And when I was thinking of doing this lesson, I thought, Lord, I don't know if everyone can relate to this, but there's somebody the Holy Ghost wants to find. And that's what dropped it to my heart. There's someone the Holy Ghost wants to find, because down deep inside you feel like an outcast. You don't feel like you relate. And you know, I'm interested in how the Holy Ghost works, because he'll leave the 99 to go after the one. And so this morning's lesson, as I go through it, might be a big waste of time for a lot of you, most of you. But it may be just that one lamb the Holy Ghost is going to find and say, I've been looking for you. And I want you to know how precious you are to Jesus Christ. So here we go. I know a little bit about how it feels to be on the outside of the circle. And I know how it feels to be on the inside of the circle. And I think every one of us in a measure experienced that one way or another. You know, I'll never forget times when you wanted so much to be a part of a group, you know, that seemed to be happening or going someplace, but the doors are shut and locked out. That happens outside of church and inside of church. And I know that, and I know that feeling on both sides. I know how it feels to lock someone out, and I know how it feels to be locked out. So reasons people can feel like an outcast. There's a plethora of reasons. I'm just going to name some. You know, sometimes it's all about being teased or bullied in school or when you were in school. Maybe it's about there was a significant failure in a life, and people attach that failure to you. I see that happen a lot in church. Oh, well, you know, he's saved or she's saved, but I know a little bit about their past. I hear that. Sometimes it's somebody who's been, you know, in a company and they've been downsized, and they feel like of all of the people that had to be let go, they were the ones that they knew would be let go. Sometimes it's divorce. We have people in the chapel that suffered divorce, and they're hurting or deserted. Sometimes it's they feel less successful than others around them. Sometimes they feel less attractive than others, or they were rejected or ignored by their parents, you know, and the tree got bent. These are all reasons why people have a feeling of outcast. You take a little look at that little diagram that I have for us there. Folks like us make a group like ours. Others need not apply. That's how it goes, right? We read in 2 Corinthians 10:12, this version, it says, "Yet they are not wise, measuring themselves as they do one by another and comparing themselves with another." And it's kind of just a comparison there, if you'll notice. Some are too citified. That means they're city people. Then you down the bottom, you have country people. Some are too successful. Across from that, you have too unsuccessful. Some are outdoorsmen. Others are what you call techno nerds. Some are too dumb. Some are too intelligent. You know, isn't that how it goes? We all migrate to who we're comfortable with. That's kind of a natural thing that happens. And that makes that separation. You could call it cliques or whatever you would have. That's how it is. These same feelings are expressed in the Bible, though. And I want to just, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake. I'm just going to read how some of these very same feelings are found in the Bible. Psalm 22:6, the psalmist writes, and this is how he felt. "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people." Psalm 31, 11 through 12, this is what the psalmist writes. "I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and I am repulsive to my acquaintances." That's a pretty strong statement to say, isn't it? Psalm 102, 6 and 7. This is interesting. He says, "I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I lie awake, and I am like a sparrow alone on the housetop." Then we read how Jesus experienced this. Even our Lord. Isaiah prophesied that he would. Isaiah 53, verse 3. "He is despised and rejected by men. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." Jesus knew about how it felt to be rejected, how it felt to be not in the group, not accepted. When you read, come to John 1:11, this is the New Living Translation, we read, "Even in his own land and among his own people, he was not accepted." So, in one measure or another, it's true, all of us sometimes feel out of the loop, out of the group. But sometimes there are those who really feel it, to the point maybe it's an overinflated imagination. Maybe they've been so out of the loop or so out of the inner circle that it's hurt their soul, and that's something that you don't overcome. Like I say, I don't know who this is, or we can't even, but I feel that maybe there's just one person here that those feelings have become too strong in your life. Those feelings of, I'm not successful, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not talented enough. You know, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I'm never going to find a partner. I don't know if I'm ever going to be accepted totally. I'm going after that sheep today. I'm going after that lamb today. And before I run through this, let me just say, I remember being in high school. Yes, I can remember that far back. I remember being in high school, and it's interesting how this works, how this outcast feeling works. There was this girl, she was a knockout. As some say, she was a creation. She was just, you know, she was just beautiful. When she walked in the room, it was like, here she comes again. You know, she was beautiful. And she had everything going. No, it wasn't
you. If that was me.
Not yet in the story, Amy. Not yet in the story. Didn't know your mother in high school. Well, no, you were 5 years early. She was in kindergarten. I'm older than her. Not that much. But, you know, this girl had everything going for her. She came from a very a well-to-do family. And she used to say she had her own horse. In my day, that was like, huh? You know, she had a horse and everything. She had, she was dating for a while the quarterback of the high school team. I mean, the girl had everything. But I'll never forget, I was sitting next to her, which was a great privilege of that day, which I thanked God for. I was like, oh, why could I be so blessed? Not that she ever talked to me or looked at me, you know? But in math class, it's a blessing when you got a knockout sitting next to you, you know? So I was like, oh, okay, and maybe this would be my in, if she ever glanced my way. But she recognized more of the fact that there was a chair next to her than me. But I heard her talking. One day she came in and she was like sniffling and stuff, you know? I had watched too many movies because I wanted to be the hero in that, like, what's the matter, Sue? You know? And be able to reach into her, the recesses of her heart. And the next thing you know, she dropped the quarterback and I would be the one. You know? The worm, the pelican, the outcast. The guy who couldn't sing or play baseball or anything. I could just draw beautiful flowers in art class. You know? Maybe she would see me and then I'd be walking down the hallway. You know, and maybe the quarterback would be coming down the hallway and I'd be like, hey, what's up? You know, and we'd be friends now because Sue's, you know, my girl. Well, that didn't happen. And that's not where the story's going. Didn't happen that way. But I was sitting next to her and she was upset. And one of her friends, what's the matter, Sue? She said, not making this up. She said, no one likes me. No one likes me. You know, and nothing fits. And she's going on and on and on. She's got a zit here. It's just a lousy. And I had an awakening. I had a revelation. You know, it was like everybody suffers from this disease. Well, that was right after my thought of like, you kidding me? You know? Are you kidding me? And all of a sudden, her beauty melted into, honey, you're missing it. You know, you're missing it. You got no reason to cry. I felt like tapping her on the shoulder. Have you seen me lately? I live with 5 other siblings in a little hut over on Argonne Place. I got nothing. You got a horse. I got a pinto. You know? Stop whining. The story didn't go that way either. But you know, it was a revelation. Like gorgeous can feel out like an outcast too. Mrs. Popularity. Mrs. Talent. Mrs. I've got everybody and everything can feel alone as well. Maybe more so. I'll just give you one more story and then we'll bang this out. But I remember feeling you would never think, I remember feeling that way in church. I just remember feeling Well, I'm not part of the clique. I went one time with a group and of, well, this actually happened here at camp. A group had gotten around of counselors. I was counseling in the village, and they got around and they were talking about things, and I came over and I was just, you know, I wasn't trying to horn in on the group, because sometimes that's obnoxious, you know, where you just sort of come on in and, hey, guys, you know, you butt into their group. But I thought we're all Christians, you should be able to do that a little bit. And they said to me, we're talking about holy things. And I wasn't that holy, but I knew a little something. And I'll never forget that feeling of, you're not a part of this conversation, go away. One time a minister, I was a young person, and a minister started talking to me and engaged me in conversation. How you doing? Because I had walked by him, and how you doing? And I started moving my lips to tell him how I was doing, and he walked away. And you know how that is? Do you ever have that happen to you? You're like, well, and then he just walked away, and you don't know whether you should just keep talking and finish a sentence. You know, it's uncomfortable. It's like, well, I'm okay. And then he walks away, and I'm like, should I finish? What do I do, chase after him? You know, you could feel very neglected. I thank God, though, that I've known some people who didn't memorize the Bible, but they knew the Bible. Didn't just have this relationship with Jesus that excluded others, but the more they got, the closer they got to Jesus, the closer they were able to get to you. And I thank God for the saints I've known like that. One of them was a minister. You know, I knew he walked with God. I knew he loved God, and I was a bit afraid of him, because, you know, but when I was a young fella and I would visit that church, he, you know, of course he greeted all the adults, but I just remember this. He would come over and go, how are you? You know? And just, he recognized an invisible person. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to be able to get close to anybody and everybody. So let's take a look at this. I was going to give you two promises from the Word of God. It's nothing you don't know. But if you're out there, and if you're that lamb, if you're feeling, even here at camp, you know, I'm not in the loop, I'm not part of the clique, whether you're talented or not, then this is for you. Take a look at promise number one. It's simple. And the Holy Ghost has to get this on your heart. No matter who rejects you, God is there for you. Very often, we relate to God the way we relate to ministers. We relate to God the way we relate to other people, elders. And that's not so. We need to relate to God and realize that no matter who rejects you, God is there for you. I'm going to give you a few verses. Isaiah 49, I have them listed, so just listen if you care to look them up later. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet God says, I'll never forget. The Holy Ghost wants you to know that he's there for you. Psalm 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. If we read this in 2 Timothy 4:16 and 17. At my first defense, no one stood with me, the Apostle Paul wrote this, but all forsook me. But the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me. What a glorious promise the Word of God gives. And there are so many other scriptures that I could tell us about and read to us and belabor the point. But the Holy Ghost wants you to know that no matter how rejected you feel, no matter how many experiences you've had of saying, I'm just not in the loop, I'm not going to be in the loop, whether it's on the job, in school, in your church, or even in your home, the message of the Word of God is God will never reject you. And like our story that we read in the beginning from John, Jesus is looking for you. Christ is sending His Spirit to find you. Here's the second promise. I like this one. God gets to write the last chapter. That's the promise. God will write the last chapter of your life. And I love this so much. Let me read this from Psalm 31, 19 through 20. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of man, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. I could add a whole bunch of scriptures to this, but here's what it comes down to. No one defines you. Nobody's idea defines us. Nobody else writes your story. They may talk about you. They may push you out. They may laugh at you sometimes. They may bring up your faults, even the stuff maybe in your past. That all may be so, but you know what? God writes the last chapter. And the psalmist here says, you know, God, all of their ideas and all of that, that doesn't define me. We had a privilege of having a vacation Bible school just before we came up here, and the Lord blessed us. I always have to give Him thanks because He worked out the weather. Every day was supposed to be the same. Rain, thunder, and disaster. Every single day the forecast was that. And we had it outside in a tent, and it would have been... But you know, every day the forecast was that way. Our school was from Monday to Thursday. It was just a four-day school. And thank God it just rained Friday. And we were able to have it. But I'm thankful we were able to let these children know the truth of the gospel. I wanted to make sure they knew three things. I wanted to make sure that they understood that no matter what their home was like, no matter where they went to school, no matter what their upbringing was, that the Word of God wanted to communicate through Jesus Christ that, number one, they were created. What a difference that makes. When a child knows they're created, they're not some sort of cosmic accident. They're not just some sort of, you know, incident that happened in some slimy green pool many years ago, but that a God designed and created with an intent and a purpose that child would count for the kingdom of God. That's awesome, right? Secondly, was this, not only created, but in this fallen world, they were redeemed. And what good news to tell a child, you know, somebody sought you out, somebody is seeking you out, that you're worth buying back, that you mean so much to them that they would pay that awesome price, as Peter says, not with silver and gold, but with the blood of Jesus Christ. And lastly was this, the third was this, that they're eternal. The world has a way of communicating to us that, you know what, we just sort of spring up and fade away. And the Bible does say that in Isaiah. But you find out that we're all eternal, either to damnation or to salvation. And to let them know, you're eternal. God meant you forever. Not just to temporary, but God meant you forever. What a privilege to let them know that truth. God defines us. So whoever it is that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to communicate, God wants to let you know that your friends, your church, your work area, that doesn't define you. God defines you. Nobody else can. No one else can say that you belong or not belong. God defines you, and He writes the last chapter. To close, just some practical tips to help, some practical steps to take if you're feeling this way. Number one, just simply get strength from God. Get strength from God. Let Him be your source of self-worth, of encouragement. David did. You know the story of Ziklag. And how even his own people, after that loss, after the baggage and the people were taken captive at Ziklag, It says there in 1 Samuel 36, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. But we read how David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. So number one, you've got to realize that you need to run to Jesus. Number two, you've got to stop believing the lies. Don't believe the lies that you tell yourself. Never mind the lies that other people tell you, but stop believing the lies you tell yourself. The Holy Ghost will help you do that. What do I mean? That you are dumb or worthless? That it's your fault? That you have to put up with it? That there's this code of silence and there's nothing you can do? Proverbs 11:19, we read this. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, listen, through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. So stop believing the lies. Believe the Holy Spirit. Believe the Word of God, that He absolutely is with you. Instead of the lies, believe the truth. Psalm 8, 4 and 5. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Then we read in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you. We need to maximize the thought that I am God's child. I am God's child. You know, I'll make this a quick one, but I like to tell us all this. We're special. That doesn't mean you get self-righteous, but I like to tell children that have given their heart to the Lord, I like to tell them they're special. I say, you're special. You are. It doesn't, and I make sure that they know. It doesn't mean you go walking through the world and you go to school and you tell your friends, you know, I'm better than you. It's not about that. I make sure I communicate that they don't get that. But I let them know that you have a treasure in an earthen vessel now. You're special because you have allowed Jesus into your heart. Guard that. Be careful with that. You know, you're special. Maximize that. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you saved me, that I'm yours, that I'm a child of God. And that it dispel all of those feelings that come from the lies. Number three, double check to make sure you didn't give reason for offense. Just common sense. You know why sometimes you're on the outside circle? Because you're obnoxious. Or you're just not, you know, you're just pushy. And I've seen this, and you know, you can blame the crowd in church sometimes. It's like, you know, they just don't, you know. I remember one time, listen to this here. It was an open season. It was like, who wants to join the choir? You know, Brother Jonathan was having, he said, come join the choir. I thought, I like to sing. I do. I can't sing well, but I like to sing. So I sat in the choir. And I remember sitting there, and he was going over the parts, you know. He's going over the parts, and he went, okay, you and you and you, let's do the alto. And you've done over that. You can sopranos and whatever, and all these different parts. I didn't even know what they meant, you know. All I knew about music was the word sing. And I noticed that he went over this, them, and he went over them, and he went over them. And I was wondering what I do. You know, I was wondering what I do. Like, what? Brother Jonathan, are you going to go over my part? Okay, Keith, you sing the melody. No. Low. No, he didn't say that. But you know, I used to get mad at him. I was getting mad at him. And I could take him. He's a big guy. He's like Brother John Prah. I ain't afraid of him either. But you know, I used to get mad at him. Like, I'd go home and say, he goes over everybody, you know. He asks who wants to join the choir. And I feel like an outcast. I don't get, you know, why did I bother? So I'd sit there with the, you know. We're all this way. Listen, here's the tip. Double check to make sure you didn't give reason for offense. Sometimes we're like, they don't include me. You know, the Lord showed me something. Keith, You want to be included? Learn a little something about music. Go to Brother Jonathan and say, teach me something. Show me something. Go over, help me to get the pitch and follow the notes. You know, sometimes you have to take a step up. And you know, don't just try to force yourself in, but sometimes get a little bit of knowledge, get a little bit of wisdom. It makes a difference as far as you can go. All right. Don't be meddling. Don't have a judgmental attitude right away. Don't be sanctimonious. You know, you fall into a pity party. They always forget me. They always neglect me. You know, if you're going to up to people who are talking about holy things, learn a little something about holy things. Right? That's all. 4, be assertive, but don't be vindictive. Sometimes you have to be. You know, if you're being harassed in school, if you're being harassed on the job, if you're being picked on, you need to be a little assertive. You don't have to accept it, but you don't have to retaliate. You don't have to have that retaliation. That's not the way to go. 5 is look out for the others. What do I mean by that? Well, Proverbs 12:18 is this. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. You know what the Lord wants to do? And what this is what I mean by look out for others. God wants to take the person here that is hurting. Ready for this? Because this is how the Holy Ghost works. That one person maybe I'm talking to, or two, that person that's hurting inside, it feels like they're never a part of it. God wants to take the hurting and make you a healer. Because that's how the Holy Ghost works. He takes the broken. He takes the person that's hurting. And he does a work of the Holy Ghost. And they become the healer. And you know, maybe there's somebody, when God touches you, he wants you by the Holy Ghost to touch someone else. And believe and share and work and have faith through the Holy Ghost for them. Again, Proverbs 12, New Living Translation. This is what it said. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. 6, of course, don't become one of them. Proverbs 22, do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. You know, just by nature, by instinct alone, sometimes we become them. You would think a child who's been abused would never become an abuser. Wouldn't you think that? You would think that they would say, I'm never doing it. But if we just flow with our nature, that's what happens. So if you feel like an outcast, you know what? Sometimes you get to a place where you push other people out of your life. That's not a work of the Holy Ghost. Never, never. You should become somebody that's so inclusive, so willing, so seeking out others. Don't become like them. Last one is this. Don't be surprised. And we read from 1 Peter 4:12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Don't be so surprised if you're pushed out. Don't make it like an unchangeable end of your life kind of situation. Because that's what the enemy does. Like, did you see what they did to you? You're never going to be accepted. It's all your fault. Don't be so surprised. Don't throw out that maybe God is writing the story. And that God can change things up. Well, there's the lesson. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's a great, great song we sing. And I'm going to close by we're having us sing this. We don't even need our Brother Paul to play it, because I think we all know it. It's a powerful song. It's a song for the outcast. It's a song for the person that, no matter what you're going through, if you believe this song, if the reality of this song gets and permeates your soul, if you open up to it, you're free. You really are free. and doors will open for you. You ready? Here it is. Sing it with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For thy Bible tells me so. Now, for those who this lesson was not for, you're like, huh, yeah, I know that song. But dear Lamb of God, for the Lamb that the Holy Ghost is going after today, I don't know who you are, but I know there's one person. We're going to sing it again, and then we're going to say amen. But God has given you that song. The Holy Ghost wants to use that song just like when Jesus sought out that guy that was outcast. To let him know, in all my busyness, in all of my great mission, you matter, you count to me. And I want to reveal myself to you. I want to make myself known to you. I am the Son of God, and I love you. And that's what matters. Let's sing it one more time as our benediction. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the God bless you. We're dismissed.